This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work Policy and Practice at the University of Chicago. The master's program in social work, social policy, and social administration prepares professionals to address today's most pressing challenges and offers flexible options with part-time and evening classes to support busy adults balancing complex schedules. Inspire change, shape the future at crownschool.uchicago.edu/social work. WBEZ's nonprofit spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. We know who the choices are for United States president, and some of us might be familiar with a few congressional candidates on the ballot, but there are plenty of other races down ballot that, let's be honest, are a little obscure and confusing. Like, what are the advisory referendums that you're being asked to weigh in on? And the office of the circuit court clerk, who knows what that person does, let alone be able to choose their favorite candidate for the race? To help demystify what's on your ballot, we sat down with Tony Arnold, a WBEZ government and politics editor. There's going to be a lot on this ballot. For example, a number of measures statewide will appear at the top of everyone's ballot. So I began by asking him if these aren't binding, why do we vote on them? And how do they inform policy? Here's Tony.
Yeah, I think it sets a tone where it's so much. I mean, any election cycle has all the attention on the president when it's with a presidential election year. But this particular year, there's just kind of this drop off. Usually there's another race where there's, I don't know, tens or hundreds of million dollars of being spent on something in Illinois, whether it's governor or a statewide office or U.S. senator. And here, this time, we're just going from president to Congress. And so it just feels a little bit different. And that's just the nature of this particular cycle. That's just how the numbers fell this time. So we're here to mostly talk about what's going on in Cook County and the region this time, as opposed to what's going on in D.C. and Springfield.
That's right. Yeah, super local, right?
That's right.
Let's demystify this voter ballot here, because there's a lot. For example, there's a number of measures statewide that will appear at the top of everyone's ballot. They're non-binding, but they can inform policy. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah, this is an option that lawmakers in Springfield have to take the temperature of the public. And you can certainly make the argument that there's a political motive here to fill these questions in with things that they want, but maybe a little hard to get passed for the votes, or to box out someone else from getting their questions on. There's any number of motives for asking these questions, but inherently they tend to fill in these questions as something just to take the temperature of voters, and is something that maybe could come up again down the line in a real practical policy way, as opposed to this, which is, as you said, this is non-binding. It really doesn't totally matter, other than it shows what the power of people can have at the voting booth on these maybe delicate topics, depending on what the questions are.
Yeah, these are on the ballot because of Senate Bill 2412 that passed back in May, and it's the first time that these advisory questions have been on the ballot since 2014. Is that pretty significant?
From Springfield, right? This is from the lawmakers in Springfield. The city council in Chicago does this sometimes just for Chicago ballots. I believe Cook County can do the same thing. So it's something that lawmakers don't use all the time, but here we are using it this time. And and they had their own motives for the types of questions that they wanted to poll people on this time.
Yeah. The property tax relief and fairness referendum asks if there should be a 3% increase on incomes greater than $1 million. What's that story?
Well, this comes out of, shortly after J.B. Pritzker won and became governor, he did this whole campaign, right, on changing the Illinois state constitution to allow for a graduated income tax, where rich people would pay a higher percentage of income tax to the state than people who make less money. And voters turned that down. And now here they are with a non-binding, right, question. It's a very similar concept, which is, should people with income over $1 million be taxed at a higher percent, 3% more? But then specifically, this money would be used for property tax relief for other people who would qualify. And that's where the difference is. And so clearly there's an effort here from the Democrats to not just walk away from this concept that failed at the ballot box in I believe 2020. It's a different type of thing. And what they're doing here is adding property tax to it.
Yeah.
Property taxes. Everyone knows their property taxes. Everyone can't stand it.
Yeah. It's a sore spot for
a lot of people. Exactly right. And so this question gets to the root of that. We have people like the former governor, Pat Quinn, campaigning hard for this very topic to, in theory, down the road, practically provide some sort of property tax relief for people.
The Assisted Reproductive Health Referendum asks if reproductive treatments, including in vitro fertilization, should be covered by health insurance plans in Illinois. That seems pretty straightforward, but there's a bit of controversy. Can you quickly explain that?
Well, there's just groups that oppose IVF or want their own question on there. And here, this is a national issue, thanks to the actions of some Supreme Courts, state Supreme Courts in other states outside of Illinois. IVF here is in Illinois is still happening, right? And so this question gets to this, what's become a national debate, a national issue over IVF in the context of all the actions that have been taken on abortion restrictions in other states. And so this is, I think, the Democrats who put this on the ballot in the Illinois House and Senate, you know, it's their effort to show just how, I think, how popular this is with people. And it's just another type of thing to motivate voters, I think, in a year where there's already, you know, a lot of attention on the president.
On this topic, yeah. Everyone in Cook and the five collar counties will see county circuit clerk on their ballot, though in Cook County, it's listed as the clerk of the circuit court.
Yeah.
Trying to get all my C's there.
It's hard to say.
It is. What exactly does this person do, the county circuit clerk?
You know, essentially, this is the person in charge of paperwork throughout the court system.
Okay.
And you get to elect the person who's going to be doing that. Occasionally there are these positions on the ballot that are elected. And while there is some policy involved, but you know what? It's a lot of the work there is administrative work. And this is not unique to just this position, but there is this position that you elect in Cook County and in the collar counties where this is the person in charge of paper.
And but, I mean,
you
know, a lot of people running for it too, right?
In
Cook, Will, and Lake counties, there are multiple people running for the position. The thing is, we don't know a ton about them.
Well, in Cook County, you have Mariana Spiropoulos, who's the Democratic nominee for the title. She's been on the Water Rec Board for a while. And she defeated the incumbent in the primary, Iris Martinez, who was a longtime state senator, and moved into this role. But then the Democratic, she backed some people that the Democratic Party of Cook County did not like. And so then they helped support Spiropoulos, who ended up defeating her in the primary. And Cook County's this, you know, it's not a secret, it's a heavily Democratic county. But there are, you know, countywide, some Republicans and believe Libertarians running on the ballot who have not necessarily run for office before and don't have fundraising to get their message out.
And voters in Cook County will be voting on another clerk, the county clerk, which is the office responsible for record keeping and for serving as a secretary and setting agendas and meeting times. So organization skills are key here, yeah, Tony, is what
clerk,
I'm hearing.
Yeah, yeah. And the clerk, separate from the court clerk, the clerk does also manage the elections. And so when you are questioning your ballot and where it goes and where the count is, outside of Chicago, that is, you go to your county clerk as your local election authority.
Lots to keep track of course. All right, sit tight, Tony. I want to get some more election questions answered by WBEZ education reporter Sarah Karp, who's here in studio with us. She's here to fill us in on a new position that Chicagoans will see on the ballot this year, the elected school board. Hey,
that
Sarah.
That is true. That is true. Now, suburbs have some elections going on, too.
Right.
But in Chicago, this is the first ever.
Yeah. And what does someone on this board do? How is it different from like a local school council, which we've talked about a ton on the show?
Sure. Local school councils are sort of, think of them as governing bodies for their individual school that they, and they do things like approve the budget, they evaluate the principal, hire and fire the principal. But the school board members, they set policy for the whole district. One of the really big things that they do is they approve the budget. So that's, you know, Chicago Public Schools has a $9.3 billion budget. So that's a big deal. There's a lot of budget decisions to be made. Mm-hmm. And so they're really sort of the, as one of the board members who just resigned from the board said, it's sort of, you can sort of think of the school board as like the rudder of a really big ship. And they try and make changes that might, you know, over time affect the school district.
Yeah. Yeah. And so there are advocates and opponents, of course, of the elected school board. Quickly, I mean, what did they have to say on each side?
Well, there are a lot of people who think that Chicago Public Schools has been better off under a mayoral appointed school board, which is what the school district has had since 1995. And before that, there was sort of a convoluted nomination process. Because with a mayoral with the mayor appointing every member of the school board who then hires the CEO, it's very straightforward.
Right.
You don't have a lot of debate and, you know, of course, over the last couple months, this has sort of been not true. But,
right.
But let's just say like
there's
for the
been
last
quite a bit of debate.
Right. But for the last 30 years, I mean, I've covered school boards where, you know, they basically come in, they sit down, and they nod their heads and vote the way the mayor says to vote and leave. And there's very little discussion. And
yeah.
So, but people think that's efficient.
Yeah.
You know, and people are very worried that this school board, which is going from a 7-member school board to a 21-member school board, will be chaotic and messy.
Yeah.
And, you know, that it'll be hard to get consensus and, you know, people's ideology will come in and impact the school district in not a positive way. So there are fears about how this might play out.
And voters are going to be selecting a candidate for their district, right? Not candidates for the entire board.
Right. And so this year, we are voting on, the city's been split up into 10 districts. And so there'll be 10 elected representatives come January, and then the mayor will still be able to appoint 11, including the president. But come 2025, everyone's going to be elected, and those 10 districts will be divided into 20 districts, and then the president will be an at-large position. So basically everybody will vote on the president of the school board.
Gotcha. That's Sarah Karp. Thank you so much. You can find the school board voter guide at wbez.org/education.
Yeah. Go look at it. It's great.
All right. Voters in Cook County will also be selecting commissioners for the Metropolitan Water Reclamation District, or MWRD. This is the agency responsible for managing stormwater. Our producer, Linnea, talked with Reset Sustainability contributor Karen Weigert, who had this to say about the role of the MWRD.
It's a really big agency when you think about impact on your daily life and what happens to water. And how do we know that where that water goes is where we want it to go and that it's clean enough? You know, this impacts our rivers, but it also impacts the water that goes all the way down to the Gulf of Mexico. But this is an elected board of commissioners. So think about the policies that you want coming out of this organization. Think about the financial health that you want. And really think about the strategies that will strengthen this region in a changing climate for everyone.
Karen went on to explain why this is so important now as climate change brings more frequent, intense rainstorms.
Our infrastructure has to somehow absorb a lot of rainwater really, really quickly. And it historically hasn't been built for that. And while we're seeing, you know, these bigger storms, these more powerful storms happening really, really quickly, where they could drop inches of rain in a short period of time, rain needs someplace to go. And gravity hasn't changed, so it's going to go down. And if down means, unfortunately, a basement, that's where it's going to go. But where it starts is in the pipes. And in Chicago and in this region, we have the same pipes for stormwater as we do for the water that comes out of our buildings and our homes. And so that combination of stormwater and the water coming out of our homes, which could be from kitchens, but could be from bathrooms, that can create a very unpleasant mix. And that's the water that we're seeing flooding into basements. And that's what we'd like to see less of.
I know that if you are a voter in Lake County, you'll be choosing people to sit on the North Shore Water Reclamation District. All right, Tony Arnold, WBEZ's government and politics editor, is still here with us. Two quick things to hit on with you before we go here, Tony. So Cook and the five collar counties were voting for our state's attorney this time around. Remind us what that office does. And then I know you've got some congressional races that you're watching, too.
Sure. Yeah. In Cook County in particular, this is a big race because incumbent Kim Fox is not seeking re-election. And so the state's attorney race in Cook County is competitive. And here it's the, you know, we're talking about what these offices do. This is the office that prosecutes people or chooses not to prosecute people if they feel the evidence isn't there. And not only that, but this office is active in the state house. And so oftentimes when people want to say that they're tough on crime to get elected to office, they're going to go to the state's attorney's office to see, can I get your help in advocating for a certain bill to increase or I suppose decrease or change the types of sentencing guidelines that there are for a certain crime. So there is policy that's involved in the state's attorney. That is a very powerful position. And the state's attorneys around the state do talk to each other and have an association there to lobby for certain changes to state law.
Right.
As far as Congress that you mentioned.
Yeah. Who are you keeping an eye on here?
Well, the big one in Illinois, you know, Chicago and the suburbs and the exurbs all have been trending Democratic for a very long time. That's just voting patterns. That's money. That's where attention goes from the groups in Washington that whose job it is to try to win a majority for their party. And so it's all Democrats around Chicago now. The one that in Illinois that's getting a lot of attention and money and seems to be competitive is out west. It's this district that curves from Rockford to the Mississippi River to Quad Cities, then curves back around and gets into Peoria and Bloomington Normal. It's a huge district. It's winding. This is currently represented by a Democrat, Eric Sorensen, and he's up against a former judge named McGraw, who's getting some attention from the Republicans in Washington who are trying to get some organization and momentum there to flip that seat. So if Democrats want to try to take back the U.S. House, then they got to keep Sorensen there. And that's probably the one in Illinois that's getting the most
attention.
Yeah.
That's Tony Arnold, WBEZ's government and politics editor. Thank you so much. Yep. A note that Monday on Reset, we're going to bring you interviews with the candidates running for Cook County State's attorney.
This episode of the Reset podcast was produced by Linnea Dominic, edited by Dan Tucker, and mixed by Ari Mejia. You can support the work we do on Reset by liking and subscribing to our podcast. We drop new episodes every weekday with a special one on Saturday. You can also sign up for our newsletter. Head to wbez.org/resetnews. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. Thanks for listening.
My name is Donald. I live on the southeast side of Chicago. I support WBEZ because of the balanced reporting and covering so much about an issue as opposed to just the few seconds that you may hear on most other news outlets. It matters to me to hear the story more completely.